Today we celebrate what? Palm Sunday. You see all the palms that Donna and Sandy beautifully arranged here. Did a really good job. Today we celebrate Palm Sunday all over the world. The Christian churches are thinking about this week called Palm Sunday, this Sunday. This is the week before Jesus was crucified. You know that, right? Because next week we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. In fact, it was 5 days later after this day, Palm Sunday, that Jesus died. Jesus, knowing what was about to happen, was very mindful of the given prophecy that was given before his birth, that he would be riding righteous and victoriously on a lowly on a simple donkey. If you don't know, this was prophesied. This that was happening then was prophesied many, many, many years earlier in Zechariah 9:8-9. Chapter 9, verses 8 and 9. Listen. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victoriously, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This was prophesied. What was happening now in that moment was told way before it happened. But you see, this prophecy of Zechariah about Palm Sunday not only tells us how Jesus would enter the city, but it also tells us, which is really important, what his death would accomplish. Because the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday was so solely for the purpose of fulfilling the prophecy that he would die on a cross 5 days later. So, Zechariah 9, verses 10 and 13 tells us the rest. It tells us what his death, the death of this king riding on a donkey, would accomplish. It says, I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Did you hear that? Have you ever heard that? Sounds like an oxymoron. Prisoners of hope? Doesn't that sound like a contradiction? It's not. People were prisoners to whatever the sin was, to greed, to anger, to lying, to addictions, whatever it was, but they were prisoners of hope. Why were they prisoners of hope? Because the hope that one day they would be freed from all that. So it says, return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. I will bend Judah as I bend my bow, and fill it with Ephraim. I will rouse your sons, Zion against your sons, Greece, and make you like warriors' sword. A little complex, but the whole meaning of freedom and restoration, bad things being broken off of people to set them free, is told in Zechariah, in this prophecy that Jesus was fulfilling when he entered Jerusalem. But before he could do this, before he could do all this that I just explained to you, where he even mentions the blood of the covenant, he was about to shed his blood, so that all this would be possible, all the freeing of the slaves to sin would be possible. Before he could do this, he had to suffer death, a death on a cross. And that's why he's coming into town on Palm Sunday. I want you to picture for a moment all these palms. In this passage, it doesn't tell us about the palms. It says that cloaks and hallelujahs were pronounced over him. But I want you to picture this scene where he's entering, riding on a donkey. We've seen it in movies. And people are shouting praises. And people are laying their palms like these before him. And he knew that all that was the beginning of his greatest suffering. Any horrible death would not compare to the death that he was about to face. I wonder what his mindset was. I wonder what he thought when all these people were offering praises, putting the palms and throwing things before him in a show of praise and adoration. Yet he knew where he was heading, to the cross, to a brutal death that we can't even imagine what it would feel to be crucified alive with no anesthesia, with nothing to ease the pain on a cross. And why? So that he would accomplish his mission to set us free from the power of sin. Prisoners of hope were waiting for him to accomplish this death that would set them free. So this Sunday is usually called Palm Sunday because the crowds laid palms at the feet of Jesus as he was coming into town. Listen to verses 36 and 38 from this passage, because this passage is in other Gospels. The Gospel of John is the one that mentions the palms. But listen to what this specific passage says. Listen to it again. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mountain of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. They were excited about him. They had hope he would save them, right? But they had hope. The crowd had hope that he would save them. Pay attention to this. According to their own expectations. But God's plan was far greater than their plan. Isn't that the way it always is? I mean, I know someone who bought a house and was ready to enjoy it, and all of a sudden, within 3 months or a few months, she's selling it because she got married. I mean, look at the plans of God. His plans are far greater, and God's plan was far greater. They were expecting that Jesus would rescue them from the evil government they were under. They were expecting that he would put everyone in their place. Aren't we good at having our own way of justice too? Our own idea of justice? And we think if justice is going to take place, it has to take place the way I think it should take place. They were expecting that Jesus would rescue them from the evil government they were under, but God's plan was to rescue them from the grip of sin, death, and eternal damnation. That was God's plan. So when the crowd discovered that Jesus was not going to save them according to their expectations, What happened? They turned on him and crucified him. Oh, he's not going to do it our way? Well, let's get rid of him. We thought he was coming to do A, B, and C. That's what a Savior should do. You're not doing it our own way. You're going to the cross, and we're going to participate by shouting, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Why? Because he didn't do it our own way. When the crowd discovered that Jesus was not going to save them, think about this again, according to their expectations, they turned on him and crucified him. Nasty, right? But before we judge them too harshly, we need to sit down and look inside our hearts and ask ourselves if we are any different. Do we praise God with hallelujahs, songs, and prayer, but do we shun him with doubt, questions, or reject God's wisdom because he doesn't do things the way we think he should do them? I know I have in the past and repented from that. If that's your case also, you're called to acknowledge that the wisdom of God is greater than yours. You're called to repent from demanding that God does justice your own way. I just want you to picture a little ant, a little bug, saying to an adult, if they could speak, you need to do things according to the way I think you should do them. The brain doesn't even go that far. How could the brain of an ant compare to yours? How could our brain and our ability to think beyond what is seen compare to God's? But in our arrogance, we dare to challenge God's wisdom. In our arrogance, we tend to shame others who do not think the way that we do. If that's the case with you, my friend, let us acknowledge that we are no different than the people who greeted Jesus on Palm Sunday, who were shouting, hallelujah, spreading their palms before him. And 5 days later, their shouts changed to, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. If we in any way can identify with a fickle crowd that doesn't stay grounded in faith, trusting in God's way of doing things, let us repent. Let us ask for forgiveness. And let us remember that his wisdom is far greater and far better than ours. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we're so quick to judge the people from Palm Sunday who shouted with loud voices because of all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, putting palms on the floor, on the ground, and their cloaks on the ground. But 5 days later, they were ready to scream, crucify him. Father, we too often expect you to do things our way. And we are disappointed when you don't do them our way. We think our way is better. We repent from that. We ask for forgiveness. And Father, we pray that you will open our eyes. For one of the things you do on that day is you weep. Your word in verse 40 says, you wept. And then you said, if you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Father, we pray that you will not allow our eyes to be shut to the truth that we need to see. Allow us, Father, to see. Do not let our eyes, things be hidden from our eyes. and let us know, Father. We don't want to miss it like they did. We don't want to miss what will bring us peace. We want to embrace it and thank you for it. So we pray for that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.